Welcome to it. I think the meeting is not going to be long. We are going to have two items, the briefing from the Magistrates Commission, and then a briefing about tomorrow's presentation from the content advisor and the committee researcher. And without any waste of time, I'll hand over to the Magistrates Commission to proceed. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity. Can we start then with the lifting of suspension of Mr. Mthuli? Chairperson, Mr. Mthuli was charged criminally with driving a vehicle whilst he was intoxicated. The Commission, on the basis of the content of the docket and having done its investigation, requested recommended to the Minister to have him provisionally suspended from office, which was approved by the Minister. This House also confirmed the provisional suspension. At the misconduct inquiry in May 2013 this year, the two witnesses who testified on behalf of the Commission contradicted each other to such an extent that the defense, Mr. Ntuli's attorney, stood up and asked the presiding officer to have him dismissed, and this was granted by the presiding officer. So he was found not guilty on the charges of misconduct, and therefore there's no justifiable evidence that he should proceed to continue to have him suspended from office, provision suspended, and therefore we requested the Minister to lift the suspension, Chairperson.
Oh, thank you very much. Honourable members, any engagement in the presentation before we adopt? Honourable Mkhobi? Any seconder? Honourable Manzini?
I second for the adoption.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, the committee, having considered the report of the Minister on the lifting of provisional suspension of Magistrate FKS and Tulip, reports that with the background that was given by the Commission, and the Commission therefore the view that the existing evidence against Mr. Ntuli was of such a serious nature as to make it inappropriate for him to perform. The Commission indicated that it would be inappropriate for a judicial officer who was occurring for the second time. No, it is part of the background. The recommendation is that having considered the Magistrate Commission's report and the Minister's recommendation, the committee concurs with the Minister's decision to lift the provisional suspension of Magistrate Ntuli and recommends that the committee should present that recommendation in the House. Thank you very much. We can proceed in the other report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm proceeding now with a progress report. I just want to make a correction in the progress report of Mr. Hawley, Magistrate from Kimberley, a regional court magistrate. You will see on page 3 of the report, on 2.3, the third line there, reads, application was not turned down, the not must be taken out there, otherwise it gives the wrong impression. Page 3 of the report, progress report of Mr. Hawley, the 2.3 at the bottom, the third line on 2.3, the knot must be scratched out. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will proceed now Mr. Wood,
is this correct out?
Sorry. Okay, the sentence is, his application was turned down without submitting him any reason. That's how it should read.
It read,
his application was not turned down without submitting him any reasons. So the not must be turned, must be taken out. I apologize for that. We only saw it at a very late stage. Mr. Chair, the matter of Mr. Hawley, you will recall it got a lot to do with the conflict he has with his regional court president, Mr. Nkandala, and the remarks and his conduct in court. I don't know if it's necessary to give more background about what occurred there. Not necessary, Mr. Chair. Then he was charged with 10 charges of misconduct, and the charges are he failed to comply with the lawful order, and his remarks he made towards Mr. Nkandala and so on. Those were the charges. He was provisionally suspended on 29 September 2011. The charge sheet contained allegations against the charge sheet containing the allegations against Mr. Hawley was served on him on 28 November 2011. That's within the 2 months that was required. The misconduct hearing commenced on 15 April 2012. I'll just give a quick background. He asked for legal representation. He asked the Department of Justice to foot the bill, his legal bill. And this decision was only taken by the department. We only got a response on 16 October. That was after the matter had been postponed a number of times in 2012. Then he approached the presiding officer in the misconduct inquiry with a request for a postponement and advice that he intended to approach the High Court in this regard for not footing his bill. He wanted the department to pay that. And he also raised certain points in limine. I'm just giving the reasons for these delays and the postponement. And when it was turned down, his legal counsel, his counsel is an acting judge in the High Court. And the judge is representing him free of charge. So the judge is only available to represent him when they are in recess. And so we are limited to those dates. And this caused the postponement to go on, and the inquiry was on postponed. The last postponement to 2 to 6 December for the hearing now, with certain provisions that it will go on even if he is not represented. There will be, the presiding officer said that there will be no more further postponement. The department is still not prepared to pay his legal representative, and he only relies on this specific counsel. That is the situation as it is now. So that will be in a few weeks' time. Just another matter. There was an application. The minister provisionally suspended. His suspension was confirmed by Parliament, but his provisional suspension was, however, lifted in respect of his part heard matters. So he is busy now with these matters. For that purpose, he is still in court, and he is receiving a salary.
We know the report.
Certain conditions.
Yeah. We know the report to continue the other one.
Sorry, Mr. Chair.
I say we note the report and continue the other one.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mm-hmm. The other one is Mr. Masinga. Mr. Masinga is a magistrate in Durban. He was he assaulted his wife. He was convicted in the regional court, Durban, and he was sentenced for attempted murder, and he was sentenced to 10 years imprisonment. He appealed against his conviction and sentence. The appeal is still pending. We started with the misconduct proceedings quite a while ago, in 2010 already. And all the witnesses for the commission have been led. They have been cross-examined at length by Mr. Masinga, but there was a lot of postponements. He used there were so many attempts from his side to try and stop us from proceeding. At certain stages, he submitted doctor certificates that he's ill, and at one stage when that didn't work out anymore, he got to the office and he said he doesn't have a legal representative anymore, and he's lost his spectacles in a taxi the previous night. And those are the sort of things that, and he also raised many points in limine at every time. His cross-examination of every witness, he used all the transcriptions of the criminal case and everything. I think just for one witness he went for about a week. It just took very long. Anyway, the commission's case was closed. He testified. He was cross-examined. That is how far we are. And now he says he wants to call witnesses as well. And so the matter was now postponed for that purpose to the 8th of November. That's in more than a week's time. We are at the end of this case. He does not receive a salary.
Note that one. Can we proceed to the other one?
Thank you, Chair. The next report is the progress report of Mr. Meraki. Chairperson, on page 5 of the report, Mr. Rambo was inter alia found guilty of theft, 2 charges of theft. He took that matter on appeal. That appeal is still pending.
So which one are you dealing with?
Meraki, Chairperson. Mr. Meraki from Lichtenberg, he's the head of office. Except for that one charge, there are 5 other charges of misconduct preferred against him. We proceeded. The misconduct inquiry could not proceed on all the charges on the 23rd of April last year, since Mr. Meraki's representative's mandate was terminated. And he then requested an indulgence to instruct a legal representative. He indicated that his sister would financially assist him to enable him to brief counsel, and this request was granted by the presiding officer. On the date of postponement, the 11th of June 2012, he again placed on record that he was frantically looking for an attorney, I'm quoting him verbally, to represent him. His instructing attorney was on record and was present before the presiding officer at the inquiry on the 18th of June, which he then set dates in consultation with Mr. Meraki's counsel and give him the opportunity to brief his counsel, and the matter was then postponed to the 28th and 29th of August 2012 for trial. We were ready to proceed on that day, but Mr. Meraki requested another postponement again because he was not able to timely fund the counsel. He also requested the Commission to disclose the contents of criminal investigation reports on which basis the Commission resolved to charge him. We objected to that formally before the presiding officer, and we had to argue that before the presiding officer on the 22nd to the 24th of April, October. They then thereafter abandoned that application, and the next day, the date of trial, neither Mr. Meraki's attorney nor counsel was present, and we again had the witnesses for the commission were present to testify. We could start with the leading of evidence, but he again placed on record that he was still not able to raise sufficient funds to pay his attorney or to brief counsel, so he requested another postponement. It was then postponed to 26 November last year. The presiding officer ordered that Mr. Meraki's attorney be present and the date for trial was set for 23 January 2013. Mr. Murata was informed that if counsel was not briefed by then and placed in front, the inquiry would proceed without him or her. Now, the commission was able to leave the evidence of three witnesses on the 7th and the 8th of January. We requested the presiding officer to set an earlier date for the inquiry. This was done in consultation with Mr. Malaki's counsel. He appointed senior counsel to act on his behalf at the inquiry. The matter was then by mutual postponement postponed to 3 and 4 April for continuation. We left the evidence of further witnesses on these dates, where after the inquiry was postponed to 22 and 23 July for further trial. Unfortunately, the presiding officer was appointed an acting judge at that time and could not avail himself for the inquiry to continue. And the matter stands now postponed to 4 and 5 November 2013, which date has now been amended because there's a clash of another. Mr. Rambau's matter was also set for these dates, and it's the same presiding officer, so we, in consultation with counsel, have postponed the matter now until the 26th and the 27th of November this year. And we were also given the opportunity to engage in consultation in an attempt to limit the issues in dispute. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. We note the report. Can you proceed to the next one?
And the next one is Mr. Rambau. You will recall that we were really at a loss as to proceed with the misconduct inquiry because Mr. Rambau's counsel was not ready and we couldn't trace him. Eventually, when we had to commence again, and I would like to refer to page 3. And then he instructed an attorney to represent him in the misconduct inquiry. And at that inquiry, it was on 8 April 2011, he applied for the proceedings to be postponed without his attorney being present. He was placed on record that he did not instruct his attorney to represent him at the inquiry. He, however, indicated that he instructed counsel to represent him. On the 20th of June 2011, counsel appeared on Mr. Rambau's behalf. No further particulars were requested from the commission at that stage, and they again requested a postponement pending finalization of the criminal matter against Mr. Rambau. They indicated that the criminal case would likely be concluded in October 2011. The presiding officer then granted the postponement until the 12th of September. Counsel for Mr. Rambau also requested disclosure and or discovery of all the documents, which was duly done. And then on the last occasion, Mr. Rambau submitted a committal certificate indicating that he was unfit for work due to diabetes mellitus. Contact was eventually made with his counsel on the 7th of February. The commission was formally informed about the withdrawal of Mr. Rambau's attorney as well as the instructions to counsel that were cancelled. So Mr. Rambau was subsequently again, we had to serve a notice on him for a hearing afresh, and a new date for the inquiry was to continue on the 25th of March this year. On the 25th of March, Mr. Rambau confirmed on record that he placed his attorney in funds and that counsel was still on record. This was disputed by the commission. The presiding officer gave Mr. Rambau the indulgence until the 13th of May to see to it that both his attorney and counsel were present. Mr. Rambau instructed another attorney to act on his behalf in the meanwhile, and the presiding officer was acting in the High Court, like I said, during that period, and it was postponed to the 15th of July by mutual agreement. On the 15th of July, Mr. Rambau's newly instructed attorney requested to be finished with all documents relating to the complaints levelled against Mr. Rambau, since his predecessor did not furnish Mr. Rambau with any of the documents to enable him to prepare for the inquiry. can make the sense now postponed to 4 and 5 November, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Okay, you can proceed to that one of Franz Kalfik.
Chair, I'm just checking that we've been given an update because we have just confirmed the suspension this afternoon of Magistrate Franz Kalfik in the House.
No engagement in the progress report. No engagement in the progress report.
My concern is when you look at the postponements and you listen to the reason why these people postponed and all that, I'm just worried, Chair, what will happen in a case if we lost one of these cases and these people get their work? Wouldn't there be any financial damage to the department or something like that, or to the commission?
Well, Chairperson, we argue that as well, but it's for the presiding officer to make a final conclusion, and of course the proceedings must be fair. And if you're not procedurally fair, they can take us to the High Court, and the procedures will then be declared null and void or administratively unfair. So the presiding officer must go at length to be lenient towards the magistrate, of course, but we must be substantially and procedurally fair in all circumstances, and we must uphold the constitution as well. So it's very difficult. We do argue and we do make objections against further postponements. It depends on the circumstances.
Chair, just a follow-up on that, Chair. If I've just heard what the Commission has just said, Chair, and when we look into some of these cases, some of the attorneys, some of the magistrates, they don't have financial money to pay for good attorneys and all that. That is why I'm asking, Chair. If you look to the Bill of Rights, Chair, doesn't this thing, are we not against anybody's rights here by keeping his salary and he can't afford an attorney? It's like, in my opinion, it's like a poor man or a poor South African who are fighting against the state without money, in which the state has all the resources. Isn't that unfair? I'm just asking. Just clarity, I don't want the commission to come tomorrow and say, we've got this big claim against us because of 1, 2, 3. They must just clear us. It's only a concern. And that's what I'm asking, Chair.
Honourable Gunda, in those cases, if the presentation were made before the committee requesting approval, then we did approve. It's not necessary for them to respond to that question now. The one of Magistrate Franz Kalfik, the suspension was approved pending the investigation. How far are you with the investigation?
Thank you, Chairperson. The investigation has been concluded. The person leading evidence has been appointed, as well as the person who is going to preside, the presiding officer, has been duly appointed by the Commission. The defense, Mr. Skalkwijk's attorney, he changed attorneys now, and they requested further particulars before we could commence with the inquiry, and it's quite a lengthy document. They asked 24 charges of misconduct, and it's about 10 plus questions further particulars per charge that it's, we are dealing with it at the moment. So as soon as the further particulars has been provided and we have received a response, then we will set the date for hearing in consultation with Ms. von Skalkwijk's attorney.
Chair, I'm just in. Maybe because if you take Mr. Waller's case, where there were cases seated and the commissioner to come back to us to allow Mr. Waller to continue with those particular cases. Now, I'm just saying, you know, we must not find ourselves in a similar situation also in terms of discharging his duties. In as far as those particular hearings are concerned, you know, I'm not sure how balanced, how fair that process is, because this side is sitting with a problem around the case, you know, against himself, and this side he must preside about and be fair on other matters that affect communities this side, so that we don't find ourselves coming back with the same situation with this other magistrate, you know. I'm just saying, let's clear that also. But also, if he's balanced now, if he can go through that particular process, whatever, because we're not sure anything might happen in the process, you know. Well, I agree that he's got a salary, he might afford attorneys, you know, to represent him and all those. We're not sure as to how severe his case is and how does he affect, you know. I'm just saying, as have all those factors taken into consideration, besides the point that because he has already done specific work in specific cases, you know, and if you take what we have just confirmed today, what this magistrate was doing, you know, she had to take some of her work to her colleagues to conclude for her or to deal with them, whatever, you know, all those things that you briefed us on, you know, and I'm not sure as to how, you know, how, what are the effects of that particular decisions that were asked to be taken.
I respond, thank you, Chairperson. I think there's a difference between Mr. Hawley. Mr. Hawley was actively involved in court. He was a regional magistrate, so he had to sit in the criminal court and civil court matters for all the time. But Ms. von Skalkwijk is the chief magistrate. She's actually a manager. She's the judicial head of office in Kempton Park. She hardly comes to court out, and at the moment she doesn't have any part of matters. So she's not involved in court work.
And for them, gentlemen. Well, thank you very much, honourable members. You are released.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Chairperson, may I take this opportunity to also wish you well as committee for the rest of this session.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Patricia, you can brief the committee.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and good evening, Honourable Members. Myself and the content advisor will share a presentation on in preparation for tomorrow's meeting. I'm basically going to focus on the document that's entitled Briefing Notes, Implementation of the Child Justice Act, the review of age of criminal capacity and national policy framework. And then I also want to draw members' attention to a separate document containing questions, which contains a list of about 20 questions that we think that might assist the committee in engaging with departments tomorrow. Also, the last part of that document has some information on the SAPS training. The SAPS spent $1.558 million in 2011-12 on Criminal Justice Act and National Instructions training, and it sets out a breakdown of the years between 2010 and 2012-13 and how much, how many
Wait,
members
just a moment,
trained.
Patricia.
Sorry, Jay. Patricia, you are so fast. Just tell us on which page are you so we can check and mark it, please.
I'm sorry, I was just basically drawing attention to this, but I will go through the document. So I'm going to focus on the briefing document, I'm starting on page one of the document. I will just talk to relevant parts of it. I'm not going to deal with every specific entry on the document, but just to note that members will recall in 2010 we had a few meetings with the Department of Justice and also with the Department of Social Development and Correctional Services on the implementation of the Child Justice Act. And it was noted at that time also, and in terms of the Act, that within 5 years after coming into operation, the age of criminal capacity for children must be reviewed. And currently, members will know that in terms of the Act, it is set at 10 years. And at the time, members also had questions around how exactly the department determined at which age, why they arrived at the age of 10 years. Then secondly, just to then go to the second part of the focus of this briefing document is, in terms of the Act also, there's a national policy on the child justice. And this policy in terms of the Act must be reviewed within 3 years. So both the Act itself and the policy came into operation in 2010. So in this year is the third year, which is now due for the policy to be reviewed. We note as regard to the age of criminal capacity, it is 3.5 years, so there is still time, but the Act doesn't say it must be reviewed in 5 years. It says they have a 5-year period within which, so the department can actually, before the 5 years is over, come with a proposal to review. So at this point in time, I'm not sure if the department is going to come tomorrow to say we are ready to propose a different age for criminal capacity. So the document then gives an overview of the key provisions relating to that requirement of age and the national policy framework. And then we also note that since the Act came into operation, there were 2 annual implementation reports that the Minister of Justice has published. And then some of the challenges were raised with regard to the implementation of the Child Justice Act. Members can recall in 2010 when we met with the joint meeting with the departments that we had. They raised the issue that all departments had challenges with implementation, but that was about 5 months after the Act came into operation. So the annual reports given an idea of what happened for that specific year, 2011 and 2012, how the departments fared in the implementation of the Act. Then the committee's attention is also drawn to the fact that currently there's a bill that has been referred to this committee, just the Judicial Matters Amendment Bill of 2013. And this bill also proposes some amendments to the Child Justice Act. And I will just briefly later on in the briefing talk to those proposed amendments. So I've mentioned that
Patricia, can I just interrupt you for a minute? Honourable members, the manager who has to authorise for transport is not available, but the buses will be available at 6. And can you maybe be brief so that when at 6 o'clock we are done, so that members will be able to catch the bus?
Thank you, and we'll share that as noted. I'm going to try to be very brief. So,
just
a moment,
Sir, is the bus available at 6? We can't leave here at 6 because
no,
we're going.
Away.
Okay.
Unless one of the members, we have to meet Ilya tomorrow morning. We can adjourn the meeting, provided we meet maybe 30 minutes at 9:30 tomorrow. Okay, no, thank you very much. Meet tomorrow at 9:30.
Yes.
Yes. But, Honorable Mukhobi, Honorable Malzin,
in that 30 minutes, you should accommodate just 1 minute briefing on what happened at negotiations.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very important so that, because it's like that mixed
yes.
interpretation, chief with this and that, we are not speaking the same language.
Yes, and honorable members, we have been requested to meet the chairperson tomorrow. I don't know what happened last week. I have not been formally briefed, and maybe we'd like to take this opportunity to allow Gashwin or Honorable Mokhobi to brief and then members engage with regard to the TCB and the proceedings last week.
Okay.
Should it be tomorrow? Not
minute.
1 minute.
1 minute, okay. In fact, there is a confusion from outside. The committee resolved to return the negotiating mandates back to various provinces to consolidate their views, so that when we negotiate, we are no longer looking back like the province that asked for extension, others that are not clear, and we wanted that. That was the essence of the position. But when you go outside, the media report otherwise different. And this was a unanimous agreement by all members of the committee that day. And the fact that now we have Mpumalanga giving us a mandate, a negotiating mandate, this is of essence that whatever date we put, we will start negotiating. Thank you.
All right, we'll meet tomorrow. The meeting is adjourned. Honorable Mokhobi, can't we use the